chapter number 1, the book of James in the back of your New Testament, Hebrews, then the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and the Revelation. Got all those back there. The only reason I know them is because every time I would go to bed, my mama would walk in there and say, "All right, let's do this. Make me memorize the books of the Bible." Amen. I'm thankful for a mama who made me do that. The book of James there at the back of you, New Testament. James chapter number 1. I'm thankful for our children's church workers. They're back there. We have a few kids already that's back there, so we praise the Lord for that. And if you do have to go there, just know that if you go through this door, you'll go through the next door on the right. And then you go all the way down, open up that door, go up the stairs, and then it's right through there. Okay, so you can find the children's church that way. And the bathroom's also that way if you're visiting with us here today. But James chapter number 1 is where we're going to be this morning. Now, before we get started, I want to tell you kind of a little bit what we're going to be talking about today. Today we're going to be talking about an emotion. And really, Brother Danny, this is an emotion that since we're Christians, particularly since we're Baptists, we really don't struggle with this emotion. This emotion called anger. Right? You could tell I was being sarcastic. We're going to be talking about this text today. The danger of anger. Now, I'm looking at that picture. I'm trying to find who that looks like in here today. Any of y'all that mad in here today? That's what we're going to be talking about today in our text, okay? James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 is what we're going to be reading this morning. James 1, verse 19, the Bible says this. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And that's where we'll stop this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would bless Your word this morning. I just pray that You would open our hearts that we might receive it on good ground today. And God, I just pray for each person that made their way in here right now, God. And I pray that this word would not be received as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in us that believe, Lord. So I just pray that this would be a good Word today. I pray that this would be a timely Word today. And I pray that this would be a Word that speaks directly to each and every heart. Lord, we thank You for this powerful, profitable, pure Word that still makes an impact on our lives every day. And we praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, if I could use one word to describe the state of our world today, and particularly one word to describe the state of our nation, it would be the word tense. T-E-N-S-E. Is that how you spell that? Alright. The word tense, not relaxed, not comfortable, or not at ease, but tense. That word tense means uptight. Here's another definition of the word tense that I like. On edge. On edge. To be tense means you're uptight, and it means to be on edge. And man, it literally seems like everywhere you go, whether you're on the road driving, whether you're at the supermarket, whether you're at the restaurant, or sometimes even when you come to church, it seems like everybody's on edge. People are tense. People are uptight. Now, to be on edge means this. To be on edge means somebody is just waiting on you to say something to them. And man, when you say the wrong thing to them, they are ready, they are willing, and they are able to let you have it. They are ready to cuss you, bless you, and they are ready, here's what I like, to give you a piece of their mind. That's my favorite. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. One man said this. He said, "People better stop giving others a piece of their mind and they won't have any left to give." I like that. You give too many people a piece of your mind, it's going to be gone. But the state of our nation today is that. It is, people are uptight, people are tense, and people are literally on edge nearly everywhere you go. And one of the main reasons is because of next week, something called the election. Anybody ever heard of something like that? The election that's going to be happening next week literally has our whole nation on edge on both sides. Man, I have never in my lifetime at least seen so much hate given to people just because you support one side or the other. It is unbelievable the state of our world right now just because of the election. The election has people tense. This virus that's been going around since March or whatever, it still has people tense, uptight, nervous, and on edge. And Lord forbid you disagree with somebody about who you're voting for. And Lord forbid you disagree with somebody about whether the virus is real or fake. Man, it's going to be World War III if you disagree with somebody today. People are uptight, they're tense, and they're on edge. And really what that gives way to is this emotion called anger. And you could say the word to describe America today is that word, anger. People are angry everywhere that you go. Now, let me add this in. Just because we come to church, we're Christians, we dress nice, and we read our Bibles, how many of you know that does not make us an exception to this emotion called anger? Yeah. Sometimes we're worse at it than the world. But there are plenty of examples in the Bible of children of God who you'll meet in heaven one day who just got straight up mad and acted out on anger. Plenty. Moses. Moses got so tired of leading the children of Israel. He got so tired of their complaining that he just ended up just smacking a rock. He hit the rock when God said, "Don't hit the rock." David, the man after God's own heart, acted out of anger. There was a dude who basically David took care of his land, and David expected a gift back in return, and he said, "Who's David? You didn't do anything for me." And David basically wiles up and say, "Well, let's go kill him." David got mad. Peter was willing to cut off a dude's ear because of his anger. There are plenty of people in the Bible, children of God, who acted out in anger. And can I tell you this morning, church, that is why I love the Bible so much. Because it's not a fairy tale, it's not a fake love story, a fake drama that's put on by producers. The Bible is about real people who struggled with the same real emotions that we struggle with every day. That's what the Bible gives us. And for today, that emotion that we're going to deal with is anger. Because God does not want us to be people who let our emotions control us. Somebody say amen right there. God does not want us to be people who are controlled by our emotions. But rather, He wants us to be people who are self-controlled and who can control our emotions. That is something God wants us to do. And since anger this morning, let me use this word, it's universal. Meaning, if you're a preacher, if you're in the choir, or whoever you are, anger does not bypass you. Anger is something that is universal that we all have to deal with. And the Bible tells us we need to learn how to control it in our lives. And verses 19 through 21 this morning, it gives us a formula on really how to do just that. And before we dive into it today, let me throw this in. If you are not a born-again Christian, you're going to have a very hard time controlling your anger. Because the only way me and every other Christian in here has a possible way to control your anger is through the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So if you're not born again, man, it's going to be impossible to control your anger. So that's really the first step to control your anger. You need to be born again. But for those of us who are born again, let's talk about the danger of anger. Here the Apostle James, who is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's currently writing to people who are stressed out. People who have been scattered away from their homes, their comfort, and their everyday lives. And for these people to whom James is writing, nothing seems to be going right in their lives, which has them uptight, tense, and stressed out. And you could raise your hand today and say, "Well, he's writing to me, isn't he?" Right? They're stressed because of their circumstances. That sounds like a lot of us today. But you see, James writes to them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to remind them of this fact in chapter number 1. Though the times you are going through are stressful, though the times you are going through are hard, God is in control. God is in control, and God is actually using these times in your life to make you, mature you, and help you grow in your life. You see, because growth in our faith, maturity in the Lord, does not come when things are easy, but rather it comes when we get tested. It comes when things get trying, hectic, and just hard in our life. But you know, when you look at it, there's a family over here that could be going through stressful times. And there's a family over here that could be going through stressful times. And for some reason, sometimes they come out differently. This family may come out better. This family may come out worse out of the stress. You say, why is that? Because it all depends how you respond to that stress. See, if you respond in the wrong way, you'll come out bitter. But if you respond in the right way, you'll come out better. And you see, in trials and things that we go through, it all depends how we respond. Because you know, when things are easy, when things are good, how many of you know it's so easy to be self-controlled? When things are peaceful, I'm sitting on an island all by myself staring at the beach, I ain't gonna get mad at nothing. It's easy to be self-controlled when everything's good, but when things get loud, when things get stressful, when things get crazy all around us and it seems like nothing is going right, the question is, how do you respond to that? And listen, James knows this. The most common human response to stress is anger. The most natural way to respond to stress is get mad about it. Therefore, because these people are going through stress, hard times, whatever you will, James says, I need to give you something that you need to remember so that this emotion called anger does not overcome and overtake your life. And that's what I'm going to do this morning, the same thing James did. Because likewise, we are people who go through stress, tough times, things in our life. And instead of letting anger overcome us, the Bible commands us that we're to overcome anger instead. So I'm going to give you 2 points this morning, but really there's 3 things to help you overcome anger in your life. And I promise if you write these things down, people aren't going to stare at you and say, they must be angry. Right? They need to be writing them down if they do that, okay? So make sure you write these down, okay? The first thing we need to do in order to control our anger is restrain. Restraint really is what we need. And that's found in verse number 19. Look at what it says. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. We'll stop right there. I like that. Those 3 words. Slow to speak. That's what we need in our lives. Because God knows that 99% of our anger is expressed through our words. 99% of our anger is expressed through our words. And how many of you know that when we get angry about something, it becomes that much harder to keep our mouth shut? It is almost like anger is that little dude on the inside of us, and he's the lever that when he swells up, it just opens our mouth. Does anybody else know that? Anger is that lever that just pulls, and some reason, Brother Johnny, your mouth goes, and then an hour later, you're like, man, why did I do that, right? You say things you regret. So instead of us being quick to speak, James says we need to be slow to speak. Because Arnold, how many of you know, how about do you know, we like to get what's called foot and mouth disease. We husbands know that. It's easy to do that. And that's why the Bible says we must be slow, not quick, to say what the first thing that comes to your mind. But be slow to speak. One man said the reason God gave us two ears and one mouth is so we'd listen more than we talk. I like that. So that we would listen more than we talk, because our words are very, very powerful tools that can be used to either help or harm others. Words are powerful in that we can either lift up others or tear down others. We can either encourage others or discourage others. And the Bible tells us that our words as Christians ought to be, this word I like it, our words ought to be gracious. Our words ought to be gracious. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says this, the words of a wise man are gracious. So the Bible says if you're going to be considered a wise man or woman, your words that you use have to be gracious. You know, the way that we talk to other people have a direct correlation on how other people respond to us. The book of Proverbs tells you that from chapter 1 to chapter 31. The way you use your words is a direct correlation on really how many friends you have, how people like to be around you. The way you use your words has a direct correlation to all of those things. And that's why the Bible says we're to use our words wisely and be slow to speak. You know, if I were to put out a poll tonight on Fox for the Lincolnton, Gastonia, Charlotte area, and the question was this, what is the most powerful part of the human body? There would be so many answers given, so many different answers given. One of the top answers would probably be the back. The back is one of the most powerful parts of the human body. Your back literally almost does everything. And some of you that have back problems find out when you have back problems, you can't do anything hardly, can you? The back is powerful. Some people would say the shoulders. Your shoulders are strong, man. Your quads, maybe. People would throw in all of these different muscles. There would be very few people that tell you what the Bible tells you is the most powerful part of the human body, and that is the tongue. The tongue. And it's actually found in the book of James. James chapter 3 and the first few verses are really all about the tongue. I want you to listen to what it says. James 3 verse 2. It says, For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. What that verse says is this. If you can learn to control that little bitty tongue in your mouth, you can control your whole body. Isn't that amazing? One of the smallest parts of your body, the Bible says, man, if we could just learn to control it, we could control our whole body, because it is just like a cruise ship. Those cruise ships are absolutely humongous, but a little bitty steering wheel takes it wherever it wants to go. And you see, the human body, ourself, is just like that. Some of us have big bodies, but a small tongue can control the whole body. The small little tongue, did you know it can control your happiness and your sadness too? Did you know people that complain all the time are more likely to be sad than happy? The way you use the tongue controls the whole body. And the Bible tells us over and over, the man or the woman that has learned to control his tongue is very, very wise. Meaning a lot of us are not wise because we have a hard time controlling our tongue, don't we? Go ahead and shake your head. Shame the devil. Proverbs 10 verse 19 says this, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. Listen, but he that refraineth or restraineth his lips is wise. So you that refrain your lips or restrain your lips, you're wise. What the Bible tells us. Proverbs 17:27. This is a good one. I think it's verse 27. Let's see. Yep. Wow. An ungodly man digs up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. His lips are as a burning fire. He that has knowledge spares his words. In other words, you keep your words if you're wise, if you're knowledgeable, the Bible says. So, to control the tongue means we are people who are slow to speak. We all need to memorize that this morning. But not only, the Bible tells us we need to be slow to speak, it tells us we need to be slow to wrath. Not quick to wrath, but slow to wrath. Here's a poster that I read, and I like it. It said, temper is a valuable thing, and it is a shame to lose it. That's pretty good, isn't it? Temper is a valuable thing, and it is a shame to lose it. The Bible says the same way we are to be slow to speak, we are also to be slow to wrath, for that word means anger. Now why? Well, there's many reasons why, but verse 20 says this. We're to be slow to speak and slow to anger because verse 20 says, the wrath of man or the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, anger isn't just a bad attitude that we wake up with. Verse 20 tells us that anger is a sin against God. Now, let me say this. Justin, I don't know about y'all. Y'all are better than me, if so. Justin can't help what he gets mad at, okay? I cannot help it if I'm watching the news and something idiotic comes across and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I'm going to get mad. I can't help it. If I'm driving down 321 or I-85 and somebody's going 35 in front of me, or somebody just happens to come over in my lane and they don't even look and they don't even care, Justin ain't going to be able to help but get mad, okay? We can't help what we get mad at. You know what we can't help? Whether that anger controls us or not. You see, we can't help when we get angry, but what we can help, whether that anger controls us or not. And when that anger overcomes us and controls us, basically like a puppet, it is then that anger becomes a sin against God. Now, I'll just be honest with you. If we were to make a list this morning, what is the main reason you get mad? And you were to write down your answer down here. We might do that next week. That'd be interesting. What is the main reason you get mad? The top answer would be others. Very obvious. I get mad at myself. But the top reason we get mad, some of y'all work with some people. We get mad because of others. And when someone does something to us to make us mad, or they said something to us to make us mad, well, guess what? The most natural reaction, Brother Johnny, is to get angry. Am I right? The most natural reaction is to get angry when somebody does or says something to us that we don't like. Let me ask you this question. Aren't you glad that when you and I mess up, God is not quick to anger? Psalm 103, verse 8 says this, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Let me say this, if anybody deserves to be mad today at what's going on, it's God. If anybody deserves to act out in wrath, in anger, and just strike us down, it is God Almighty. But I am so thankful that He does not, because this boy would have been gone a long time ago. But our God is slow to anger. And if God is slow to anger, church, that means we ought to be too. Because we are His children, and the Bible says as a child imitates their father, we are to imitate our God, meaning because He's slow to anger with us, we're to be slow to anger with others. So that's really the main reason why we're to be slow to anger, is because our God is. Proverbs 16:32 says this, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth or controls his spirit is better than he that takes a city. So in other words, the person who is slow to anger The Bible just said it's stronger than a man of war who can go in and take over an entire city. That is how much strength it takes to control our anger. And let me say, I've been saying that a lot. I'm a Baptist, all right? I've been one my whole life since 9 months before I was born. And I know what's going through a lot of our minds today. I've sat through these sermons before. And in the back of my mind, I kept on thinking, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. Right? I wish so-and-so was here to hear about how he, she can control their anger. But you know, Jesus said, before you pull out the mote out of their eye, make sure you pull out the beam out of yours. And what we all have to do is look at ourself and say, hey, I'm the one who needs to be controlled. I'm the one who needs God to help me to overcome this. So that's what he tells us to do. He tells us to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And that basically lines up with we need restraint. We need self-control in order to do that. Now, I'm going to give you one more thing and I'm going to be done, okay? Not only in order to control our anger do we need restraint in order to be slow to speak and slow to wrath, but verse 21 says we need to receive something. We need to receive something in order to be slow to wrath. Verse 21 basically tells you in part A of verse 21, it says you need to lay apart all wickedness is basically what that means. Lay apart your sin. Don't let it simmer. Don't let it boil up, but when it comes up, lay it apart. Lay it aside. Leave it there and walk away from it. And then it says this, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with humility the word. And that word engrafted means implanted, because this word is a seed. It is not just a word that's on paper. It is literally a seed that when we read it and it's put on the inside of us, it is able to grow. That is what the Word of God is. And the Bible tells us we must receive with humility this Word. Why? Because the same way plants and the same way trees absorb water, they need water as their food to grow, is the same way we as Christians are to receive and absorb the Word of God. Because if we do not absorb the Word, which is our food, we get hungry. If we do not eat, we get hungry. And when you get hungry, what's the next step? Angry. Some of you are angry now because you're hungry. Good thing I left my watch down there. When you get hungry, it is natural to get angry. And I believe right here lies the reason why a lot of Christians are in a bad mood all the time. Because they never read, receive, or absorb the Word of God. Can I tell you, not reading the Word of God or absorbing the Word of God is like not eating food. And when our body does not eat food, it gets upset. When your body doesn't eat food for a while, it's going to get upset. And when we do not read the Word of God, which is our soul food, guess what? Your soul's going to get upset. It works the exact same way. Your body does not eat, it's going to get upset. And when your soul likewise does not eat the Word of God, which is the soul's food, it is likewise going to get upset and cause all of the emotions that come out. Now, as you know, God gave us, we're a three-part person, body, soul, and spirit. And here's something we need to know. Every single emotion that we have resides in the soul. Every emotion that we have is in the soul. Whether it's happiness, sadness, anger, fear, joy, all of those things reside in your soul. And when your soul is starved of its food, you can guess the only emotion that's going to come out. Anger. Listen to what Luther said. Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 1500s. He said, "The soul of man can do without all things. Your soul can do without everything, comma, except the Word of God." The soul can do without everything except the Word of God. Because I want you to look at verse 21. Look at what the Word is able to do. "Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your..." Say it with me. How about that? "The engrafted Word of God is able to save your soul." Here's what's interesting about that. James is writing to Christians who've already been saved, Brother Johnny. They're already saved. And yet James writes to these Christians who are saved and says, "Receive the Word so that your soul might be saved." Is he saying they need to be saved a second time? Of course not. Here's what this means. This book is able to save our souls from the sin in our life. That's exactly what that means. Not only did we get, when we got actually saved, born again, we were saved from eternal sin. What this is saying is this Word is able to save you and keep you from sin in your life. In your everyday life, this Word is able to save your soul from all the emotions that come out. And that emotion that we're dealing with today is anger. Remember what David said in Psalm 119? He said, "Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." So the reason I've hidden Your Word in my heart, absorbed Your Word, read Your Word, so that I might not sin against You, God. Because this Word is so powerful that you would be amazed at how it is able to save you from the anger in your life. Absolutely amazed. When you wake up, and sometimes we just get up on the wrong side of the bed, shake your head, amen, right there. We have a bad bowl of cereal, I like to call it. And you'd be amazed, man, if you just get all by yourself and start absorbing this food, for some reason your day would change. That emotion would sometimes go away. And instead of being angry, you would be another emotion that the Word of God calls joy. But in order to overcome that, you must be willing to receive the Word of God. To absorb the Word of God. So really the question is the same thing it was last week. Last week the question was, how much time do we spend in this book? And the question this week, again, is how much time do we spend in this book? Before I leave this place, we're going to start reading our Bibles. Because this book, it says, is able to save our souls, man. And we're sitting here, and we don't want anybody else to know that we struggle with anger at home. All right? I'm just like everybody else. We don't want the person on the other side of the pew to know that we struggle with anger. But you're sitting there thinking to yourself, man, I sure would like to overcome my anger. I sure would like to overcome the anger in my life. Anger comes from the soul. And if you want to overcome the anger in your soul, give your soul some soul food, which is the Word of God. And I'm about done, and I'm about to go get me some real good soul food for my body. Mac and cheese and fried chicken. Amen. Y'all are saying, well, hurry up and we'll go do it. Man, I'm telling you, the Word of God isn't like a, it's not a suggestion. It's something that it says, man, if you'll just do it, if you'll just do it, it is able to do this in your life. If you'll just take what it says and apply it to our lives, it is able to help you overcome the anger in your life only by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not a fortune teller and I'm not a prophet. I can't see the future, but I can see just a little bit of the future, okay? Let me tell you your future this week. You ready? before this day is even over, or before your week is over, God is going to test you on this subject matter. Because you could, see, you shouldn't have came to church this morning. If you wouldn't have heard it, you might not have been tested. Might want to stay home next week. Listen, because God knows you just heard this, you know what He's going to do? He's going to say, all right, let's see if He'll do it. Let's see if they'll apply it to their lives. Something is going to come up maybe even before 11 o'clock. It's going to tempt you to get angry. And remember this, it's going to tempt you to let it control you. Can't help it making you mad. But you can't help it whether it controls you. It's going to tempt you to get angry and to just lash out. What I need you to do is this. You ready? Take a deep breath and say in the back of your mind, this is a test from God. Repeat that to yourself. This is a test from God. Am I going to pass or fail? And if you want to pass, memorize this verse. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And just keep saying it in your mind all day. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. And don't just memorize it. Do it. Now, we're a bunch of failures. I hate to break it to you. We are. So let me tell you what's also going to happen. Whether it's this week, next week, or once Thanksgiving and Christmas rolls around and your big old family comes in, you're going to get mad. You're going to get angry, and you're going to lash out. It's just what's going to happen. Okay? So, well, what do I do about that? Go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I need more grace. And if somebody is acting maybe angry towards you on the job or anywhere at home, you know what you say? God, we need grace. And today, if you pass the test and you don't get mad, give me a text and say, amen. That's all you need to say. And then go to God and say this. Thank you for your grace. Because either way, whether you pass or fail, and both of them's going to happen, it's all by God's grace. It is all by God's grace. The world in which we're living in today is a world filled with anger. But God says, be a light. And that means don't let anger control us. But rather, on the contrary, by the power of God, control our anger by being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, and receive the Word of God. Musicians, you can come. I'm done. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray that it was a good word in our hearts, a word that we needed today. And Lord, I realize that we have an enemy who is constantly barking in our minds that we're no good. He condemns us over the way we mess up in our lives. But Lord, that's not You. You convict us, but You don't condemn us over our anger, Lord. You just want to help us in order to overcome that in our life. And I'm so thankful that through Your Word and through Your Spirit and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God, we are able to do just that. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us as we go out, Lord, that we would apply this Word to our lives. Help us to be patient with one another. Help us to be patient with ourselves, because we're not going to be successful in one day or in one week. We're going to fail. Lord, I'm so thankful that You remember that we're just dust and You forgive us every time we come and ask, Lord. We thank You for Your forgiveness. Lord, thank You for Your mercy, and thank You for being slow to anger with me and with us, Lord. You're so good to us, and I just thank You for this Word. And I pray that You'd be with this invitation, Lord. Have Your will and Your way. If anybody wants to join the church, our doors are always open. If anybody wants to come and pray, they can come pray. Lord, thank You so much for all that You are to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.